Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gene, that's great. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. 383. If you got your books, open it to 383, please. That just is an appropriate way to start this morning. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I have a shadow here this morning. For those who may not know, which I think everybody does, he's my grandson, my little man. And since Grandpa is looking after him, he came with me this morning. Praise the Lord. That's Michael. How many have been blessed this week? Hallelujah. Have you really been blessed this week? Can't help it. Can't help it. God is so good. Praise you, Lord. Let's just sing this song. Open our eyes, Lord. Amen. 383.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him, and say that we love Him. We want to see Jesus.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. As I spent this week seeking the Lord and just talking to Him, you know there's so many needs out there represented right in this place, but out there there are people struggling in our families, our friends and acquaintances. And the answer is Jesus. That's the answer. There's so many people, even brought up in the church, who really don't have that relationship with Him. Some people with, if you will, scientific or technical minds. Some people that are just simple, just everyday people. And they get caught up in the things that are within their ability. Or they're trying to figure it out. In my own family, this is a struggle that one individual is having. But what I'm seeing is I'm seeing God supernaturally begin to change this. And the relationship between this individual and myself is changing. For one of the few times in my life, I was able to encourage this individual this week, tell them things that really lifted them up. And that's what it's all about. Bringing edification, exhortation, comfort, and building somebody up. In love, amen? In the things of God. We can't get to God with our intellect. We can't get to God through our technology. God's in our technology, and He's the one who gives the wisdom for it. I was sharing with Donna, and I know Kathy probably knows that there's some stuff they're using on me that's a breakthrough within the last few years called Hydrofera Blue. This stuff is absolutely amazing. I know that God gave somebody the idea and the wisdom to put this stuff together. But you know what? More amazing than that is the fact that God is the one who is the wisdom, who gives the wisdom, who shares the wisdom with His people, with mankind. Amen? Maybe you know somebody who's really struggling. What I would encourage you to do is really ask God, what can I do? Maybe it's something in your own house. I know this individual that I shared with this week that they were concerned that they might not even have a chance left anymore. Well, we all know here that when you start thinking like that, it means that you haven't crossed the line of no return. I shared with them, I said, if you'll just fall in love with Jesus, you can't get to Him through your knowledge, through your head knowledge, or what you think you know by knowing about Him. When you surrender your life, everything in your life will change. Amen? But you know, it starts right here. And the point is, what are we all seeking after? Eternal life, right? And who has the words of eternal life? Amen? He does. So this morning, just meditate that for a little bit while we're talking this morning and think about it. We're ambassadors, we're ministers, we're teachers, we're the ones who make disciples. One of the things we've talked about that God's changed in me is you look beyond yourself, you look beyond whatever the situation may be in that person's life and realize that they are a work in progress by God too. And when God says what He says in Jeremiah 29:11, it means for them also. And those words in themselves, you know, I've shared that with many people. People who I don't believe think are even Christians. I don't know, but I don't think they are. And all of a sudden, that scripture arrested their thoughts, took control of their thoughts, and began to minister to them and began to set them free and began to share them. People say, man, I really like that. What is that again? Let me write that down. So, praise the Lord. We're all a work in progress, every one of us. We haven't arrived. Amen? Let's just really turn our focus and attention on God. If there's anything that's distracting you this morning, lay it aside. Don't miss out on what God has for you this morning. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for this day. We thank You that You're who You are, that You're who You say You are, and that Your Word is final, and Your promises and the things You've given us in Your Word are yes and in You, amen. We thank You, Lord, that You're the one who directs our steps, orders our steps, who gives us wisdom and insight and shares with us the good things that You have for us, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You revealed on a daily basis Your thoughts for good and not for evil for us, and that You direct us. So this morning, Lord, we just surrender this time to You. Once again, we thank You. We say by an act of our will, we have open minds and receptive hearts to hear from You. And that's what we came to do today. Not to hear man, but to hear You, Lord. To be changed, exhorted, built up, comforted, and edified by Your Word and by Your presence. Thank You, Lord, You're in our presence. We've gathered in Your name, and now we just give You all control. Holy Spirit, have Your way. Bring the will of our Father into this house. In Jesus' name. And if you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Can't tell you how many times different things have been confirmed by the Holy Spirit. One person doesn't know what the next person's doing, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit steps on scene and plays songs that absolutely are in line with the message, or something happens where you just know God's in control. Amen. Bill, if you'll come forward.
Heavenly Father, we rejoice to be before You in Your house this morning. We ask You to bless each and every person that's here today. And even though Bob couldn't be here today, we know that You will give Bill what we need to hear today, Heavenly Father, because it's the Holy Spirit that's in charge, not us. And we trust in that, Heavenly Father, and that's how we walk. We know that Jesus left the Holy Spirit for us when He ascended into heaven. And that Holy Spirit not only surrounds us, but it indwells us and gives us what You have for us, Heavenly Father, and that's what we're seeking today. We ask You to bless this offering that we are about to partake, and we ask You to multiply it. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Hallelujah. Father, right now we submit ourselves to Your Word, Lord. We sit under Your authority. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for leading and guiding and directing this service today. Now we just look to You once again, Lord, the author, the finisher of our faith. And we thank You, Lord, we're going to be changed. We're going to grow. We're going to know something new today. You're going to touch us with something new that we can leave here with, Lord. It's going to change our lives forever. For that we praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. As I was telling you earlier, you know, there are people out there every day, everywhere you go, where you work, where you shop, where you play, that desperately need the Lord. And that includes us too. However, there are some of those people who maybe have been brought up in church all their lives. And they know sometimes a lot about God, sometimes a little about God. But they really don't know God. They don't know what it is to have that personal, tangible, exciting relationship with Jesus. And I was meditating this, and as I told you, as I had got the opportunity to encourage this individual this week, all I could do was rejoice in the Spirit, because it wasn't just words to this individual. For the first time in this individual's relationship and mine, they weren't standing with a shield up. They were standing there with an open, receptive heart, because God's doing something in their life. And I was reminded when the comment was made, I think I told you that the comment was made, I'm not even sure if I've got another chance. And the Holy Spirit said, No, you haven't reached the end yet. See, the reason you know that is because they have that thought in them. And what's happening is God has finally brought them to light, to the light of His Word, and to understand that it's more than just acknowledging I'm a Christian. It's more than just knowing about God. It takes that relationship with God. And in that relationship with God, you learn to have a relationship with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with friends, with people. Amen? And those relationships grow and become rich. But the key is that you fall in love with Jesus. Now, we have two examples in the Bible, Job and Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, that but here were two people who they saw the things of God, they knew the things of God, or they knew about the things of God, because it was demonstrated right in front of their face, and yet they went to the point where they lost everything. Everything. One became as a beast in the field eating the grass, and one, lost family, became sick himself. It wasn't a good thing. It was a bad thing for him. But then finally God got through, got a hold of his life. Nebuchadnezzar's also. And the final thing that the Word says about these two individuals is that God restored them, He reconciled them, He restored the years the cankerworm and the locust had eaten, and their latter days were greater than their former days. Now, as a king, Nebuchadnezzar, you can imagine what that would be like. Here you are, one of the wealthiest individuals in the world. You lose it all, lose your family, lose everything, just in Job the same thing. But you come back, and God makes the rest of your days, your end days, bigger and better than your former days. The key is when you come to the point where you say, Lord, I have not been thinking right, I've not been doing right, and I need to make a change. Again, as I spoke to this individual, I explained to them what it takes to have the relationship with the people in their lives. You know, one of the things Stan said, and I'm learning to understand this more and more. You know, it's one thing to say I love you, and we need to hear that from time to time. Everybody agree? But it's another thing to say you love me, but it's a whole different ballgame when you start to prove by your actions. Don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. And that means being there, be an emotional part of my life. Be there so that it looks like you are. You care about me, that you're not selfish, that you're not self-centered, and that I'm not just in this by myself, that you're there for me. And that works both ways. Amen? When God finally, by the Holy Spirit, gets a hold of you and begins to show you the places, whether it's through things that happened in your childhood, whether it's through things that happened on your job, or maybe you've never had a friend in your life, maybe you've been ostracized. Maybe you've been bullied your whole life. And you're sitting back wondering, maybe your parents weren't there for you. Maybe your parents were royal stinkers. But that doesn't change or stop the Word of God, what He promises, and the things that He has for you, and the things that He thinks towards you, the plans that He thinks towards you, and He set before you. He died once for all. Amen? And so I was encouraged because I could feel the encouragement going into this person. I could feel them being encouraging. And their relationship and my relationship has changed. And I've told some of you, and I'm going to say this again, and I'm saying this to everybody, if I haven't told you your face, I want you to understand this once and for all this morning. I told this individual, I said, you know what? I love you. I've made up my mind. I love you. It's not based on how you treat me, what you say to me, or how you act. No matter what happens in your situation, I love you, and I will always love you, and I will always be there for you. And right away, you could feel the barriers come down. And you feel for the first time in this individual's life the fact that they understood in an even deeper way. They're just starting to find out what it means to have a real father. What it means for God to really be a reality in their life and to turn circumstances around. But it takes you and I, again, not just one time, but every day of our existence, falling in love with God, giving Him our life, having an attitude where our focus and throughout the whole day, it's not that we don't do other things, but in everything we do, He is always right there at the forefront of our mind. Sometimes it's just a matter of saying, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord. Sometimes it's a matter of doing your work and just meditating on Him, the good things. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't do that without getting absolutely beside myself excited. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean excited. Maybe you haven't been to that point yet. But keep going. Keep standing. Keep doing what God's asking you to do. Stay in your Word. Stay close to Jesus. And I'm telling you, you will come up one day and you'll wake up. And man, I'm telling you, you will not only think you love Him, you'll feel you love Him, and you'll know you love Him beyond anything and more than anything or anybody else in this world. And at that moment, He'll begin to demonstrate to you and show you what we've talked about on different occasions, what it means to be His bride, to please Him. And when you and I can please Him, then we can please the ones in our relationships, our children, our spouses, our friends. And by please them, I don't mean do everything that they like, but everything we do is for their good. Amen? And that's what it's about. Let me ask you a question. If you had a person in your life, and maybe you do, maybe you don't, I pray that God will change that if you don't, where every time you came in contact with them, there wasn't one negative thing that seemed to come out of their mouth. There wasn't one down thing. There wasn't one ill thought. There wasn't one, everything they said built you up, exhorted you, comforted you, built your faith. What's your automatic response? You don't ever want to not be around them. Right? Am I talking foreign? Do some of you understand what I'm saying? You can't help it. There's just something about that person where you and I, not just the sinner, but you and I say, man, I want to be around that person. I like that person. I want what they have. And it's not wrong to want what they have, but remember, we're individuals. God has the same good thing for us, but it won't look the same as it does in that individual. It'll look the same in the degree that you'll see God's hand moving. But it won't look the same because we're individuals. But it'll be just as poignant, just as powerful, and just as liberating. And it'll cause you to not only feel, but to know and experience the love of God in a way you've never imagined before. How many want that? Amen. I'm telling you. I think I told you last week that I sat in my daughter and son-in-law's house one day, and I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden God reminded me of some songs. Lord, You are more precious than silver. Lord, You are more costly than gold. Lord, You are more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing I desire compares with You. And as that began to come out of my mouth, and as I began to sing, my granddaughter Kylie was sitting next to me, and she looked at me and she said, Grandpa, you're crying. I said, yes, honey. The desire of my heart is to change. To change. That's an everyday, every moment occurrence in my life. God is, Jesus is, the Holy Spirit is, but I want to be one who is able to see and minister to your needs any moment of any day that I'm called. If it's just in a handshake and saying, good to see you today, I love you, or whatever it is, that's what I want. And that has become so strong in me that it's overwhelming. And I'm so blessed by that. I'm not sad. I'm thrilled. I can't tell you what that feels like. You have to experience it. Well, your life is so sold out that nothing matters but the ones you love and the people that God brings into your pathway. God demonstrated His love towards Job and Nebuchadnezzar many ways. But it didn't become real until they came to the point, looked like the last stop in their life. when God finally captured their attention, which God's good at doing by the Holy Spirit, and brought them to the place where they knew and understood, I'm here, I've always been here, and I've always had you at the forefront of my thoughts. I've always desired good things for you. But the thing they learned was it was based on their opinions, what they did or they didn't do according to the Word of God. And once again, if you've ever been in a place where you've seen God absolutely supernatural minister to somebody, supernaturally minister to somebody, where you know it's touching their heart, I encourage you, seek God, because there's nothing like it. To see a person touched and at that moment also changed in one place or another in their life. And let's face it, it's not over because of that one touch. It's just the beginning in some cases. Some of it's just a step along the way. Every one of us have stories that we can talk about, things that maybe were not so pleasant as a child because of our parents. Some of us can say, you know, we had bad experiences, but the one thing that I can tell you is I've never doubted my parents' love. Never doubted it. Okay, let me back up. There were times in my young life when I doubted it, at least my dad. But I've grown to understand and see through what God's done in my life, He's changed me, He's changed my perspective, and see that even though my dad didn't do things the way God wanted them done for whatever reason, He still loved me. There had to be something there, an element there, that touched his life, that caused him to understand what family meant, what family was, and that love. Because ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you this morning, no matter what you think, no matter what you believe, there's only one way you can love like that, and that's because of God. You have to have some knowledge or some semblance of knowledge of God. You have to have it. Do we always do the right thing? No. But if we're focused on Him, then immediately when we say or do something wrong, I was talking to Bill this morning. I made some statements last week, and I was 110% wrong. And I was not comfortable this whole week. I mean, I didn't feel like God had left me, but I wasn't comfortable because I knew it needed to be made right. So I told him this morning, Bill, I was wrong. I operated out of my emotions, out of what I saw, not what was real. Did you hear me? Not what was real, but what I perceived as real. And I was 110% wrong. And I'm free again now. I'm free again. God required me to say I'm sorry. For Bill's benefit? Maybe. But you know who got blessed because of obedience. Amen? And that's the kind of thing that God's looking for, and the things that draw us closer to Him and that change our relationship, that brings the power we all desire into our life. There's not a person sitting in this room or within the sound of my voice that doesn't have a desire. Whether you know how to get there or not, may not be totally clear to you, but you'd have a desire to please God and to see God operate in your life and for that power to operate through you. I had a chance to stop by the ward that I was on when I left the hospital this past week. God's good. Y'all can see that I'm getting around without a walker. I still have trouble standing for a long time sometimes. And I can't go great distances, but I can do a lot better than I've been. So I took the opportunity to walk through an open door. My son and my two grandsons were with me at the doctor's office. My son texted me while I was in being seen by the doctor and by the wound care nurse, and said, Dad, we're going to go to the car. I didn't quite know what was going on, so I said, what's going on? I called him and said, what's going on? Because I was waiting for the doctor. And he said, everybody in the waiting room is hacking and coughing. I said, son, I totally understand. I'll see you there. He said, if you need me to come back and help you, I'll come back. So as soon as I got done, I'm walking to the elevator, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go see those people over there. And there are two individuals especially that really blessed me. One was the young black woman that I told you about, Garrett, who loves God with all of her heart. And after a hug, she says, the leaders of the church have said they're going to put me into leadership someplace. And I said, praise the Lord. I said, you know what, Garrett? I said, there was a time in my life when I couldn't even quote the scripture that says, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because He's anointed me to preach. I couldn't say it because I was afraid. I was afraid I was boasting. And it's not boasting, but what I've learned because of you folks, because of my walk with God and the things that have happened in my life, I've learned that God has called me and anointed me. I've seen the response from you all. And you can't imagine what that does to a person who's called by God, which we all are. And you need to experience, I want you to experience the same thing. It's not me, it's not my ability. if I touch you at any time or anything I say touches you at any time, it's not me. It's Christ in me. It's the power of God in me. And the reason it's there is because I've said, God, that's what I want. I allow you to do this. And I'll, no matter what it says, you know, I made a comment to somebody. I don't know if it was last Sunday. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. If I did, forgive my redundancy. In fact, I told Garrett. That's who I told. I don't hesitate. I don't blink an eye anymore. If somebody comes up, whether they're a believer or not, whether I know them as a believer or not, where I used to be a little intimidated, what are they going to think, you know, stuff. I know you guys don't do that ever, but I do. I did. And now I just, hey, can I pray for you? And you know what? So far, I've not had one person say, no, I'd rather you didn't. Not one person, believer or non-believer. You hear what I'm saying? There's people out there who are looking for people who have the answer. And the answer comes only through having that relationship with Jesus that's more important than any other relationship. Anyway, as I began to share with this individual, I began to tell them what it's going to take to make things right in their relationships. And the first thing is falling in love with God. Because what happens is God becomes more prevalent in your life. As God becomes more real in your life, He becomes more exposed in your talk, in your walk, in your actions, in the way you react to things. Things that you might have gotten your tail over the dash about, if you'll allow me to use that statement, or gotten upset about, or that would send you over the edge. You don't react to people in the same way you did. You don't try to retaliate. You don't try to change their minds. You don't try to, you know, talk down what they believe. You just, it's okay. It's in God. And that's a fun place to be. Doesn't mean you're wrong, necessarily. But we need to remember always that we may not necessarily be right. We may think we are, but the only way we know we are is if we look like, if we talk like, if we act like Jesus. And the only way that's possible is letting the Holy Spirit have total control of our lives. Did you hear what I said? Total control. And I can see some people just going, wait a minute. You know it's right, but you resist. Part of the desire to be transparent, part of the desire to be accountable, be open before people, is to realize that I'm not the smart one. God's the smart one. I have opinions and I have thoughts and ideas, but they may not necessarily be the correct opinions or the correct responses or the correct attitudes that we should have, that I should have. So I have to rely on God to change what's in me. And you know what? Once again, I'm going to tell you, there must be a reason why God needs to pound this in our heads. If I let God change my outlook and my thoughts, then whatever issue I may have had or might have with you in the future that might have been an issue, it's not an issue anymore. I see you in a different light. I see you through the eyes of Jesus. I see how much God loves you. I see how much God's done for you. And I'm not an island. And not only that, do you know what a great pleasure it is to be a servant of God's people? If you don't, I'd encourage you today. Find out. You want to get blessed beyond your wildest dreams? Bless other people. I'm not talking about just giving finances or money. Give your time. Give a word of encouragement. Give a prayer. Lay yourself down. Lay your life down. The Bible tells us we're supposed to be concerned not only with our own affairs, but with the affairs of other people. Those things that are important to other people. Amen? And those are the things that cause changes, that bring a response that will cause them to be in the same place you and I are desiring, that close walk with God and being able to touch people just by a casual comment. I'm reminded again, I'll say this, some of you may remember this, some of you, I know Harry remembers. We were in the old church on Wadsworth, the school. Harry was having a struggle that night. I don't remember if you were in pain or what the deal was. And all I did, not knowing anything else to do, but, you know, I just said something like, God bless you, didn't I, Harry? And instantaneously, God touched him. That wasn't me, folks. That was God. But that was from a desire to be a blessing, to touch somebody's life. Stan preached a sermon one day, and I know one of the individuals sitting right here in front of me this morning. We went to the restaurant afterwards, and all of a sudden, God started convicting people of some of the habits they had. One of them was Coke, huh, Karen? And Stan said, wait a minute, what just happened here? I didn't say anything about Coke. I didn't condemn Coke. I didn't say anything about Coke. And yet the Holy Spirit was ministering to Karen, if I can just pick on her for a minute, use her for an example. That's the way God does things. Having a word, that's what it means to have a word instant in season. Amen? That's what it means to be able to give an answer for the hope that's within you. You don't have to give your whole life story. You don't have to tell the whole Bible. But just sometimes one word is going to be spoken through the Holy Spirit in your life and by the Holy Spirit into you and through your heart. I'll remind you again, when I was in the hospital and I first met Garrett, this tall, slender, lovely-looking black girl, and we began to talk. And after we had talked, and she knew that I was a minister, but she didn't really know me from anything. We'd only had a few hours to visit. She was brand new in the job. And all of a sudden, she walked back in just before quitting time. I told you this, but this is important. We need to understand this. And all of a sudden, I mean, just before she walked in, God dropped a scripture in my heart. Being confident of this very thing, that God, Jesus, who has begun a good work in you, will perform that work until the day that Jesus returns. And the reaction was phenomenal. I had no idea that the night before, somebody who also was in the Spirit gave her the very same Scripture. How did I know that? Psychic. Not even. That's the Holy Spirit that's in you. That's the one who was sent by Jesus. He said, if I go, I will send the Comforter. And He will comfort, He will guide you, He will lead you into truth. He'll reveal things to you. He'll remind you of Scripture. He'll remind you of the things that God's done. And that joy that's in your spirit, that joy that's in your heart, can't help but come out of your mouth. Amen? Can't help it. I'd rather say one word to you inspired by the Holy Ghost than 10 words that are just frivolous conversation. Now, that doesn't mean I don't like you or I don't want to converse with you. We have good conversations. Bob and I talk a lot. Bill and I talk, Harry. But the point is, I'd rather it makes me more excited and does something more to me to be able to minister a word into your life that's going to bring about a touch. Maybe not an immediate response as far as a change, but a touch that sparks that change or that desire for that change in your life. That's worth it. There's not enough money in this world to compare with that. Like the song says, Lord, You are more precious than silver. You are more costly than gold. You're more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing I desire compares with You. Nothing in this world is worth You. That's why I've given my life. I owe it to Him. Because He gave everything for me. Amen? Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew, the 12th chapter. These are the words of Jesus. I'm going to read verses 34 through 37. One of the things that devastates me, and I choose that word very carefully, is to say something in frivolous conversation that causes a negative reaction. Maybe it's not frivolous conversation, but it may not have had to been said. But it causes me great grief and discomfort and causes me pain in my heart to think that I've said something that would cause somebody to be uptight with me or to spark an argument. And I won't go there with you. I won't go there with you. I love you. I'm not changing my mind. I've made my decision. I've made my commitment, and that's the way it's going to be. Nothing you say or do is ever going to change how I feel about every one of you. Every last one of you. By the way, my heart's a little wounded this morning. There are people here that I've been missing terribly, and if anybody knows where they're at or anything, can give them a call and say, hey, we're missing you, come on back. Some of them I will call myself, but some of them, you know, I don't know their numbers and stuff. I'll have to get them from somebody. But anyway, I just throw that in for free. If there's somebody here that's not here that you're missing, lay yourself aside, set yourself aside, swallow your pride, and give them a call and say, hey, you know, you were really missed. I would venture to say their heart's already heavy because they know they're not exactly where God wants them to be as far as their attendance. And there may be circumstances, but they may not be the right, you know, the things that are an excuse in God's eyes. Remember we talked about last week about God's not interested in your excuses, especially for vows that you make and you don't keep. What are you going to tell Him? What excuse are you going to offer Him for disobeying or not following through with what you commit to Him? I can't think of one, can you? Can't think of one. Here's what it says, verse 34. Jesus is talking, obviously, to people who are not like-minded. I don't remember if it's the Pharisees and Sadducees here, but he talks in the first part of this about the unpardonable sin, and then right now he's talking about a tree known by its fruit. And I'm going to start in verse 34. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what? Good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth Now, we all know that the Bible says that the natural man and the spiritual man, or the natural things or the carnal things, never come together with the spirit. You're either carnal or you're spirit. Otherwise, you're leading a hot and cold life. And what does God say about that? That's right. Because Karen was exactly right. For your benefit, she said, he'll spit you out of his mouth. God can't stand lukewarm. He'd rather have you be totally wrong or totally right than playing around on the fence. Amen? See, one of the things that God's doing in me and has been doing is the fact that I realize that my responsibility, did you hear what I said? Not just mine, but our responsibility is to be so in tune with the Spirit of God that what we say doesn't bring harm, but brings good to every person we come in contact with. Amen? That's part of treating others the way you want to be treated. How many of us want somebody to come up and start railing and ranting on us and telling us how goofy we are, how silly we are, how we messed up or how we missed it? We react violently, don't we? I mean, at that point, you say, wait a minute, I don't have anything to say to you and I'm out of here. But if somebody comes up with a word, just a word, fitly spoken in season, you don't have the same feelings, do you? You're blessed. Your heart reaches out to that person. The love that God's placed in your heart begins to show, and the response is totally different. Amen? If you're going to be spiritually minded, you'll be spirit. You'll be spiritual. If you're going to be carnally minded, you're going to be carnal. And again, what God's talking about when He says, if we're going to be in His image, then we have to be more and letting the Spirit control us more than our own thoughts, our own likes, our own dislikes, our own comforts, our own discomforts. Amen? God can take care of those things in us, and He will. And I'll promise you, if you haven't experienced God doing just even small things in areas of your life, things that seem so frivolous even to yourself, that you think, God, you know, God's not interested in that. And yet you'll find that God does things that you just can't imagine just because He loves you. Verse 36. But I say unto you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. Again, I believe that word idle means unproductive. How many remember that the Bible says that our words have power because we're created in the image and likeness of Christ? We're created in the image of God. So that means if that's the case, that our words have power, negatively or positively, on everybody's life. On everybody's life. Even our own life. The Scripture talks about how we bless men with one side of our mouth and then curse men with the other side of our mouth. That's a carnal man. Amen? But when you come to the place where you understand that your responsibility is to build up, to comfort, to edify, to exhort, and to build faith in people. Stan said one time, this is absolutely the truth. The fact that when I meet you and I talk to you, if I haven't built your faith, if I haven't encouraged you, if I haven't blessed you in some way, then I have failed you. And when you come to that place in your life that you realize you have a responsibility there, it's going to change your life and take you to another level of glory in Christ. Anybody can go around spitting out nonsense and talking garbage all day long out of the treasure of their heart. But it's the good treasure. The Bible says it's not that which goes into the man which defiles a man, it's that which comes out of him. When you take in the Word, when you spend time in the presence of God, when you spend time meditating on Him and loving on Him, how many remember the old example of the perfume? How many remember you hugged your dad and you walked away and all of a sudden you could smell that cologne, or your mom and that perfume was on you? And what did it do immediately? Reminded you of your mom or your dad. You know, that smells like my dad. That smells like my mom. And right away, warmth comes to your heart. Amen? If you see, the example of that is in God. That perfume, that anointing, that aroma that's in God gets on you as you get close to Him. And that aroma will reach out. It'll not only change you, it'll not only remind you that you were in the presence of God, but it'll remind you that that aroma will go out to other people if you remember and stay in the presence of God. That doesn't mean staying on your knees 24 hours a day with your hands folded. Oh God, oh God. That's not what it means. It means, God, I love You. And when you go to Him, don't just go to Him. You know, you can't pray for what God's already given you, folks. Man, the day I figured that out. Do you hear what I'm saying? Why do people pray for what God's already given them? What God already desires for them? Insecurity. Unbelief. Doubt. Bad experiences. Well, my mom and dad or so-and-so said this and they didn't follow through. And so right away, God gets the blame. One of the things I know about this individual is through the things that have happened in their life that I was able to minister to this week is the fact that one of the places they're struggling, they would not acknowledge this to you, but one of the places they're struggling, man, but I was brought up in the church. Grandma and grandpa were preachers, and mom and dad were churchgoers. My brother was an elder in the church or was a deacon or an usher. Man, ladies and gentlemen, that and a buck and a half might buy you a cheap cup of coffee. But the bottom line is what's really going on in your heart is you don't trust God because you're basing your relationship with God on what others have done, what you perceived about others, and what you feel you missed out on. And I'm not negating that in any way, shape, fashion, or form. I'm not saying some of us haven't been mistreated. What I will say is how many of us have mistreated others. I'm going to expose myself. I made some judgments about an individual last week that I was telling Bill about. Again, based on emotions and things that were said, and at that moment, not really knowing how to respond. I didn't make them immediately. I didn't open my mouth and just let garbage come out of my mouth, condemning or blessing or anything. I wanted to be quiet and hear what God said. But you know what I reacted to? Even though I did that, knowing better, I reacted to the past in this individual's life. And I was 110% wrong. Not only that, I shared it with my brother. All that negative nonsense, that trollop, that garbage, that disgusting stuff. And I had to make it right. See, along with wanting more of God and wanting to change into His image and likeness, what I also desire and what comes with that is not only the desire, but the responsibility to be transparent and to be accountable to every one of you. Did you hear me? Accountable. Again, I can feel that. Ooh, don't like those words. Don't like those words. Nobody wants to be accountable. Our flesh doesn't want to be accountable to anybody or anything except us. Amen? Do you agree with that, Bob? We don't want to be accountable. That's not what I want. It's what God wants. And why do I want what God wants? Because it's best for me. Because it blesses me. It changes my relationships. It gives me, makes me feel good. Makes me have hope. I begin to see God more real in my life. How many know what I'm talking about? Lets me know He's really there and He really is in control and He really does have good thoughts for me. He wants to bless me and not curse me. He wants to prosper and not harm me and give me a hope and a future. And that's all His plans have ever been. And it's not just for me as a believer, but it's for everybody. The decisions other people make is between them and God. But that's what I want. And I want to be a person who, in that point, when a person has that need, no matter what it is, that what I say is not based on my feelings or what I perceive, but based on this is what God sees. This is what God says. This is how God feels about you. And watch God transform that life. But you know what? In so doing, it's reciprocal because He does it to you too. And you begin to get so in love with the way that you feel that God makes you when that happens that you can't get enough. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. It boggles my mind from the sense of intellect. You can be hungry, even starving, and you'll eat a meal, and pretty soon you're not hungry anymore. But when I get in the presence of God, I hunger and thirst so much that even after I've been fed, I'm still hungry. You can call that greed. You can call it whatever you want to. If you want to say I'm greedy, yes, okay, I'll agree with that. I am. I'm greedy for the things of God. I want those things. I want them 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And I want to be able to share them with others. I hunger and thirst after righteousness. Where does righteousness come from? From the righteous one who dwells in you and I. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 37. Verse 36, remember, tells us, "But I say to you that by every word, or every idle word men speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment." But verse 37 says in closing, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." What's going to condemn you? Not me. Unless I say something that my words condemn me. But you're going to be condemned by your own words. And nobody here wants that in their life. Amen? If you're not speaking faith out of your mouth, always, in every situation in your own house, in every opportunity in your own house, in every opportunity as you go out into different places like grocery markets, stores, whatever it is you do, whether it's for entertainment or for sustenance or to earn money, if what you're saying and what you're doing is not causing faith to be built and not blessing people, it would be better if you, like the Bible says, set a guard on your mouth. Mom and Daddy taught me when I was a kid, if you don't have something good to say, shut up. Don't say anything. If what you're about to say to somebody doesn't bless them, doesn't touch their spirit and their heart, doesn't touch their inward man, I realize, like I say, there's some conversations that, you know, they're just conversations. But when you come to the place where you realize that if you haven't blessed somebody, if you haven't built their faith, then you've really done no good for them at all. Nothing's happened there that's going to be remembered, except the enemy will come and try to say, "Boy, I'll tell you what, that person, I'm not so sure I want to be around that person." I want to say again, if at any point in my life, in my relationship with y'all, that I've said something that you took negatively, or it maybe sounded like I wasn't really for you, I apologize to you right now publicly. I'll tell you again, I love y'all. I've made my decision. I've made my commitment. And nothing is going to change that or change my mind. I'll be very sad if someday you decide to walk out that door. But I'll never change my mind. And that door will always be open. You hear me? I want to bring good to people's lives. I want to bring blessing to people's lives. Does that sound like a pretty good plan? If you agree with that this morning, stand with me, please. If you have a need this morning, don't walk out of here in pride and don't come forward. Nobody's prying into your life, but we care around here. We want to bless you. We want to minister to you. And we want to agree with you according to the Word for whatever it is that you have a need in your life. Amen. Something you need to get off your chest? Nobody's going to sit. But can I tell you something? My life is so taken up. I don't just talk about this. My life is so taken up with trying to be what God wants me to be and to be seen as what God wants me to be. I don't get time to look at what's going on in your life as far as trying to point a finger at you. I'm for you, not against you. God is for you, not against you. And even if you made a mistake, God hasn't turned His back on you. You may have shut the door of blessing for a moment, but remember what made David a man after God's heart. David was quick to repent and to acknowledge his sin and turn from it and forsake it. Amen. Well, Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you that you love them and you place the love in me for them, Lord. And that you have, Father, plans for their lives that they haven't even touched the surface or begun to imagine what you have set before them. Their eyes haven't seen, their ears haven't heard the things that God, that you, Lord, have prepared for them. This morning, Father, I pray that an encouragement has gone out to these people, Lord. That they've been blessed and something has touched their lives, that built their faith, caused love to grow, and caused them to be closer to you. I pray for every need of every individual, whether it's physical, financial, spiritual, no matter what it is, Lord. I thank you that you are the provider. And that you supply all of our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Starting with Isaiah 53:5, saying that we were healed by your stripes, Lord. You took our transgressions. You took our iniquities. And you took our sickness and our poverty. And you paid for it all. So I thank you this morning, Lord, as I wave my hand in this church, to you, Lord, that every person in this room is healed, delivered, free spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and financially. More than anything, Lord, spiritually. I send your word to those who are in need as this goes out over the internet or wherever it goes and it's shared with people, that their needs are met right now in Jesus' name because you love them. And that's what you're about. So we thank you, Lord. We're a blessed, we're a complete people this morning. Now, Lord, we bless our time together in fellowship. We thank you for this day. We rejoice in your presence. We rejoice in your calling on our lives. We love you. We serve you willingly, Lord. We surrender to you and submit to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts, the anointings you've placed in this house. And thank you, Lord, that they're being put to good use. And if they're not, then that's beginning to change, effective right now. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great week.